The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Claff for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Claff. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And good evening, and I'm Stan Claff, and I'm in the studio with me is Thabo Mlengeni. He's going to be working the controls, and I'm very pleased to say that I have as a guest tonight Leila Bloch from Cape Town, from JDAP, the Jewish Digital Archive Project, which is a very important project for the community, and we want to know some more about it and how we can get involved, and it's something which the entire community can really should know about and should be involved in. Good evening, Leila.
Hi.
How are you this fine Cape Town weather evening?
The cold Cape Town night, yes. Lots of archive happenings.
Okay, so give us the lowdown on the digital archive, what it means, what it's about, how one gets involved.
The digital, Jewish Digital Archive, I'm sure a lot of people have heard the name, but don't know a lot about how it works or where it started. It began at the Kaplan Center at UCT, where it focused on five families in particular, and then we realized there was more of a scope for a wider network of archive of people and archive material, and we subsequently moved to the South African Jewish Museum, where it became a more of a social archive, and it comprises of photographs, film, documents, and interviews. So it's a visual and audiovisual archive.
So the documents, are they PDF style, or are they more digital photographs, images?
Digitally scanned photographs. We try not to keep physical material at the Jewish Museum, but we make copies of personal family photographs and film that people would want a safe place to store.
So from the Hebrew Order of David's point of view, we come at it from two angles. Firstly,
yes,
of course, we have 115 years going on for 116 years of archive material, which is in the form of mainly in photographs, but of course we have documents, minutes, etc., etc. But
yes,
we have already scanned and photographed most of the collection, and we would be happy to put them in, but you need to guide us and tell,
yes,
people what is involved. Is it per family? Is it per person? How is it recorded?
Yeah, it's per family. It's ordered by name. But part of the value of the archive is the quantity of material that we have, but it can also be quite overwhelming in a sense, as we have institutions and, you know, big institutions represented, and then smaller families and personal collections. But a key thing to organizing your material is getting as much information as you can documented, because by nature, the archive can be quite a fragmented place where there can be photographs with missing information or information with missing photographs. So the key thing is to get as much down from your memory and for record purposes.
And is there some sort of a template that one could get from you, or is it?
Yes. Yes. So you would, we've recently, joined with the Archive and Public Culture Network at UCT, and we have Atom-based software from Canada, which we'll help you guide you through the process of documenting each photograph. Yeah.
And I mean, the storage of this, I know that today digital storage is actually becoming cheaper and cheaper, but I mean, this is a huge project. You're going to document,
yeah,
every photograph of every family,
yes,
in the whole of South Africa.
We currently have 8 terabytes of data, so it is quite a lot, but we have backup facilities at the Jewish Museum, and for the time being, we have capacity to store things digitally. That's like, we can't, you know, we don't have, that's not the physical collections, but scans and copies we have, yeah, capacity at the museum.
Now, for somebody who wants to do research or somebody who just casually wants to look at photographs or anything, are these photographs available for outsiders, or do you have to join up? Is there a sign up? Is there a fee?
So, at the moment, you can look at our website. We are moving to a new website, but our images are available to browse through on jdap.co.za.
And browsing through is free. Can you download? Or?
No, you can't download.
And are they searchable by, let's say I wanted to look for Stan Claff or the Claff family. Will it search and find under that?
Yes, you can search by name. Yes. And then name or date, keywords.
And these, are they catalogued in some sort of fashion that you would be able to identify? So let's say you've got a group of, just for, let's take the Hebrew Order of David. So we have 20 or 30 people in a group. We actually aren't 100% sure of all of them, so it would be interesting to be able to have a means of identifying them, but in some sort of recognition form. But if you didn't, if you didn't have that and you had some of the information, so let's say Abramovitz, let's go under A, and they would be in one of the photographs. Would that link to the Abramovitz family, just for example?
If that could, if there was an Abramovitz family collection in JDAP as well, you'd whatever, you know, name with Abramovitz will come up. So if it's in an organization or in another collection.
So it will be
quite a broad search just with that name.
So would we, for example, we wanted to put our collection in the Hebrew Order of David International. Would we be able to put it in as the whole group, or do we have to do it by person?
No, you could. You could put it in just with your institution.
Okay. Yeah. So what's happened
is... But we are moving to a new site. So this is just to let you know, we're going to have a new site which will be easier to view, easier to request images if you want to use them for research purposes or documentary films or exhibitions.
So actually we've waited 115 years, I guess, another day or two won't make any difference. okay. So, the other connection which I started off saying is the, Jewish Genealogical Society of South Africa, which actually uses these kind of facilities for research. So, would that be accessible for, researchers also to be able to look in some way?
They'd definitely be able to use it as a resource, and a search function, but it's obviously not, just a database. It's also, you know, quite a visual and creative, platform. So it wouldn't, you know, there'd be some searching, but it's not just lists of names and, you know, there are more comprehensive databases out there for specific genealogical purposes. But you could definitely, you know, start with JDAP and see if that family name is available.
So a picture, I mean, a lot of people probably, you probably got a lot of photographs of people and they aren't aware that the photographs are there because, you know, over years, these things tend to get lost and go into the, you know, into the attic somewhere, but somebody's pulled them out and sent them to you.
Well, I've got an interesting story around that. But that is something we're very aware of, and we are very sensitive with copyright and release forms and, making sure that when we receive, collections, that the donors are aware they're handing over these collections. And recently we had someone message us to say they'd found a collection of letters from the Milnerton Market, where they just had found a box of letters for, I think, 30 rand. And it was a family member's father's letters, who was a famous a designer in Cape Town.
Oh, and really?
So that's the type of, you know, finds we get.
Yes. Yeah, so
in the archive. So, you know, yeah. So they, on one hand, it connects family members, and the other, we have to be sure that everyone, people are aware what photographs they're donating. Yeah.
So what's the ultimate goal of this project? This is obviously an open-ended. You'll never finish it.
It can be a bit overwhelming. It does seem ongoing. And I guess the goal is to have the social history of Jewish South Africans in a digital space and documented and preserved.
So
over time, yeah.
Right. So taking what the Hebrew Order of David has is, so from a date, I would guess somewhere around the 1980s. Up until that point, everything was hard copy when it was photographed.
Yes.
And then there was a negative, and for sure we don't have the negatives. We have the prints, and some of them are in good format, and some of them are not so clear. But post 1986 or 1990, I think around that time, we have a digital archive already, because, you know, cameras and especially today, all our photographs are in a digital format. We very seldom have a print format. So we could be able to provide those. We also have photographs of a large number of members of the order whose photographs we've taken and we've catalogued them, so we could assist members of the public if they wanted to, do some research.
So it seems like you're very organised already.
Don't be fooled by.
Okay.
Talk is cheap.
Yeah.
So the other part of the order's organisation, we have a database of all the names of the members, or as many as we could. Because we used to have a paper-based record, a card-based record. We've now put that into a database which is searchable, and in fact, every couple of days we get information from people, or we get requests for information about families, ranging from requests for ID numbers, which unfortunately we don't have. But also we have addresses where the last known address, and a lot of people have emigrated or they've passed away. And so we have that record, which lodge they belonged to, wherever it was, because at some stage we had a lodge almost in every small town. Wherever there was a Volks Kas Bank, there was a lodge. So we have a history with the community in South Africa, which now actually is extended overseas. And so a lot of our members are living in places in the United States, in the United Kingdom, Israel, Australia, wherever. And so they also have connection to this, and I'm sure they have records of their family.
Yes. So do they come and ask you for?
So they want to supplement, because they're doing research and they want to supplement what information they have, or maybe they don't have information. We get, from time to time, people deliver boxes. They found a box with somebody's name on, or a cup, a Kiddush cup, or a set of candlesticks which are engraved with a name. They want to know a little bit more about it, if it's connected and so on. So it's an interesting exercise.
Yes, yes.
And so the marriage between the Genealogical Society and the Hebrew Order of David is a natural one, because, you know, we are part of that fabric.
Yes. It's finding those missing links. It's kind of like detective work in a way. And then.
Right.
Connecting all the Jewish institutions to find.
Right. So.
Information. Yeah.
So Mrs. Cohen lives in wherever she lives, and she's got a set of photographs, and she wants to get it into your database or into your archive. What does she do? Does she send them to you? Does she get somebody to do the scanning? What's the process?
Well, she'll firstly begin collating her material in the right order. So whether it's by date or place or person. So there is a bit of work involved these days before it ends up online. But it's really about selecting what's most meaningful for you and your family collections.
So it actually focuses the mind, because if you're going to have to give it over to somebody, you're not going to send them a blank photograph unless you really don't know who that member is.
Or your old receipts.
Yes.
Yes. No. So there's a bit of, it's an emotional process and a editing process. you know, it's really spending some time with your memories and your old material and selecting what's most important to you. And then once you've done that, you can, you know, categorize it and fill in as much information as you can on each item and scan that material, and then we take it from there.
Now, is there a limitation on the amount of information, or is it unlimited?
Well, we do look for repetitions when we receive collections, and we try and, you know, not bring out a story through the archival material. So if it tells a story through photographs and films, and so there is a selection process, yes. Couldn't just take everything, because...
Right, yeah, I guess you have to be selective, and also I suppose there's a quality situation as well.
Yeah.
You need to look at if it's worthwhile working with.
Yes. But that said, you know, we do have a lot of wedding videos, bar mitzvah videos, which sometimes people think are just, you know, in years to come, those are incredibly valuable, and you can see a lot of detail of everyday life in those old videos and film.
Now, people submitting this material to you, is there a cost for them, or do you pay them? I mean, if I send you my bar mitzvah video, would I get money for it, or do I have to pay you to put it up?
No, it's just for the conversion process. Yeah, just in terms of converting.
So, and that's a cost.
Yeah.
But can they do that themselves?
They can.
So there are people you could recommend
recommend, yeah.
So at the moment, I mean, how many families
And then we also, sorry, and then we also do oral history interviews, which is another huge component of the project. So if that's, you know, we, on one hand, we go out and we research particular members of the community that we want recorded, and, you know, we feel... And we organize a film crew, but if you'd want your own oral history interview done and recorded, that would be a separate cost.
Right. I mean, I suppose every person has got a story to tell in one form or another. Some might be more important than they think it is, and some less important than the person thinks. But in essence, everybody does have a story.
Yes. And that's, really why the archive has grown to such a huge level, because we felt the need that there really is, you know, people want their stories recorded, and it diversifies the experiences and what's recorded in our community, which I think is really important.
How many families are currently involved, or have you got in the database?
We've got about 20,000 images about 900 films.
That's a tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that's just a start. Yeah.
And then,
I can tell you some of the most interesting.
Sure.
Little stories we found. I mean, in particular, we started with Anne Horowitz, at Highlands House, and we went to go interview her in May 2013, and she was born in Kupišek, Lithuania. And we found a tiny picture of a Purim party on a ship to South Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the type of, in 1929, it was
Okay, there's also the story of this chap, his father passes away, and he goes to have a look in the, you know, to see what he can give away, the clothes, et cetera, and he pulls out a suit, and in the suit pocket is a chit from a shoemaker, you know, and he has a look at the chit, and he sees it's like 20 years old, and he can't find the shoe, so he thinks, well, maybe first of all, is the shoemaker still there, and secondly, you know, what happened to the shoes? So he goes downtown Johannesburg, and sure enough, there's this little nid in the shop, he takes the chit inside, and he says, she's got these shoes, and the guy goes away. He's away for about 20 minutes, half an hour. Can you hear noises in the back? Eventually, the guy comes forward, and he says, they'll be ready next week.
That's funny.
So,
yeah.
Okay, we're going to, on that note, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back to you and discuss more of this interesting, very essential project.
This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And I'm Stan Claff, and I have with me Lila Bloch from Cape Town. She's from JDAP, the Jewish Digital Archive Project, a very important project for the community in South Africa. And we want to discuss further about what's going on with this project. If anybody wants to be involved at this moment and wants to ask any questions or send questions through to us, you can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Layla or Layla?
Layla, yeah.
Okay, not Lila Tov, it's Layla. Okay, but still Tov. Okay, just a little bit about the Hebrew Order of David and a current project which we're running, which we started a little while ago and which will actually go into full swing this month, is we have a, very much along the lines of what you're doing, we want a photographic, we want to produce a photographic book at the end of it. We're calling it A Day in the Life of a Jew in South Africa. We're asking people to take their cell phones or any other digital device, which is very freely available today, and send us a picture. Of course, a picture tells 1,000 words. We don't want 1,000 words. We want some information, just scant information about what is going on in the photograph, and send it to us to info@hodavid.org, hodavid.org. And there's 25,000 rand worth of prizes, and the chance to be able to be included in this book when we end the project. And possibly you'll want a copy of the archive for your archive.
100%, definitely. That would be a wonderful addition to our archive.
So.
And also it's great to have a contemporary feel to Jewish experience today, which sounds, really interesting. Is that the idea that they'll?
That's the idea, and so it's something.
Yeah, so it'll be like a Humans of New York type.
Correct, exactly.
Jews
along
of,
those lines.
Okay.
So, just give us a little bit of background of how you became involved in this project. It's not your usual run-of-the-mill job. I mean,
no, it isn't. But I studied English and drama before moving on to heritage studies. And I became interested in oral history interviews when I was studying English and drama, and particularly in Yiddish theater. So I started with the project saying that I'd done a bit of research into Yiddish theater, and from there it developed into other themes and people and experiences. But it's definitely a balance between history and drama. I think it's working with people, narratives and stories, and documenting the experiences.
And you head up this project.
Rami Kaplan started the project,
right,
but I manage it at the Jewish Museum, Gavin Morris. Rami Kaplan started the project.
Right. And so another side which I hadn't mentioned earlier, and you mentioned the Yiddish theater. So the Hebrew Order of David also provides a home for the Yiddish Society, and we have a number of books and material from them. And in fact, somebody just donated some cupboards to us this morning, which were delivered to our center. We're busy building a library there, but it's all hard copy and photographs.
So that's hard copies and.
Yes, so I mean
and
the books and all that.
Photograph material,
So, but I mean there is other material which would be available from that. So we definitely will be contributing in some way with you and liaising with you to be able to advance this connection, which we haven't explored up to now fully. Did have good words with Gavin some time back, and we had agreed that we would do something, but. It's a time factor, and we're also in the moment busy with our website, which is going to have a large amount of material on it as well, which we would provide links. So
how is your website going to work.
So the website.
Just out of interest, I'm interested in archive websites and how people are developing them.
It's tricky because what happens is, of course, it's a hierarchical type of website because there's an overarching body called the Grand Lodge, and under that are the governing lodges of the different countries, which is South Africa, United States, Canada, and of course South Africa, with a presence from Israel, and then under that are the lodges which report up to the governing lodge. So. And we have material going back all the years from lodges, you know, that were all, and which are now defunct, which were in all the little towns, et cetera, around the country where migration first, you know, they moved to the cities and then the farming districts. And then afterwards, of course, a lot of them went overseas, which was the opportunity when we started opening overseas. But, these lodges, you know, also have material which is coming in from time to time. And of course we have a lot of, material which is not useful, but some of it is very interesting because it has reference to things, you know, in the written form, events that have taken place and sort of, we had an invitation which went back to, a printed invitation went back to 1922. And it talks about the, you know, how you'll get to the function and how you'll go. And it says the horses and the carriages will be outside at 2:30 in the morning. So.
Wow.
So it's interesting stuff like
that. Incredible detail. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have this rich history and which we would like, of course, not to lose. And so we're busy working on it ourselves.
That's brilliant. So hopefully we can find a way to link the two projects.
Right. It's something which I think the community should know more and should be more involved in. If you only got 900 videos, I'm sure tomorrow morning there'll be another 3,000.
Yeah, true.
On your doorstep. That'll keep you busy for a day or two.
Definitely, yeah.
Do you have a staff doing all this research or putting it together? How does it work?
So, we work closely with the Kaplan Center at UCT, where there's an archivist, her name's Katie Garin, who's just started.
Right.
So she'll be working with physical material there and, our digital archive. And then I have a fantastic, volunteer called Naomi Rappaport in Joburg She's fantastic and she really helps, with surgical precision with, going through metadata, checking for any incongruity, any mistakes, factual inaccuracies. And yeah, she works with me closely. And then, it's mainly me at the museum managing the collections.
Right. So, we started out also talking about a template. So, what you would require. This, I guess, is a set of rules a set of rules and guidelines of what you would have to do to get it to you.
Yes. And just to say we are looking for volunteers because sometimes, you know, it can be a really rewarding, process to work on particular collections. And as we move from the old website to the new website, we're really, fact-checking everything and making sure that our collections are polished and edited. So if anyone's interested in historical research and has editing and Excel skills and would like to get involved, they can also, give us a call.
I'm sure there's many people out there who are looking for
even if you're in Joburg, Naomi and I have come up with a great system from Cape Town to Joburg,
And it's quite a feather in the cap of the Cape Townians that this has been started and is being run from Cape Town.
Because that's true. It definitely has room to expand. And
funding, how do you look for funding? Do you need funding? I'm not offering. I'm just asking.
We do pitch for funding and with new projects as well, which is a way in which we approach funders and so that we can keep going and sustaining the project, definitely.
And when you talk about exhibitions, which you mentioned earlier, do you have exhibitions which you take around, or is it all?
Yes, I think there's immense potential with our material for many different exhibitions. In 2016, there was the 175 Golden Medina, 175 years of Jewish life in South Africa, and that was predominantly JDAP material. There was other archival material, definitely, and a lot of research went into it, but it really showed the potential of what collecting this level of material over such a broad span, yeah, can amount to. So it was a really rich exhibition and very anecdotal. Took place at the Jewish Museum, and it really gave a sense of Jewish life in South Africa from different perspectives.
Do you have other places around the country, like Johannesburg or Durban, where this type of exhibition would be mounted, like the Holocaust Center? Or
yes, it is traveling. It has traveled internationally and to Joburg, as far as I know.
Is this
the
type
175
of
year exhibition?
Right.
Yeah.
Is this type of project unique to South Africa, or is it something which is being done around the world in other countries?
For a while, I thought one can feel quite isolated at the tip of Africa, but there are many projects like this developing. So in Beta Futsot, I know there's a project in Canada as well. So there are many archival projects, and I think there's even more, since when I, from when I started.
Yes, I bet it. The Futsot is also quite deep into all these connections with the different towns in South Africa. If you visit their website, it gives you a lot of info about it.
And if you look at a lot of international Jewish museums, there'll be an archive, an archive department which you can access their records and access their archival records and sources for photographs and films. So it's not, it's not entirely unique, but definitely in South Africa, I don't know of many other projects.
Are there opportunities for this to be done so that, let's say, for an example, there was a place in Johannesburg where people could access the data from Cape Town onto computers here or something of that nature?
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's essential. That's part of the requests we get, and part of the process and moving to our new archival software website is that from anywhere in the world, you'd be able to browse the collections and say, okay, that's actually my family member. Can I please have a decent quality download of that, please? By request, you'll be able to get the material.
And there's a value in that. I mean, people would pay for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it works from, I have family members going, oh my God, there's
Uncle, Uncle.
Yes, exactly. Can I please have that? I'm working on a personal biography project and I'm just writing the history. Or we'll have international exhibitions looking for an image of Lithuania that they find on our website.
Right. And of course, most of the South Africans came from Lithuania and those parts, not all, but I mean a large percentage.
Yes.
And so this information, is able to be cross-checked because there's, people came from the same towns, from the same villages.
Yes. And that's also part of, the process, is that people will be able to cross-check and correct information and add to the information we have on our site. It's definitely an organic process. It's not, textbook. We want people to engage with our website and contribute with their memories and with,
So if they wanted to get hold of this template, how would they do it? Do you want to give us an email address or something where they could email to get it, or is it available on the website?
Yeah, well, they can browse on the website, and we'll definitely let you know when our new website is up. But in the time being, they can look at the current website, which is jdap.co.za, And they can email me at jdap@sajewishmuseum.co.za.
And the archive, I mean, is the storage of this stuff on servers in South Africa, or is it internationally stored in some way?
No, we've got backup storage at the Jewish Museum.
And there's adequate for...
For now, yes. For now we're okay.
For this week.
For this week. Yeah.
And now, okay, so let's just run through exactly what you're looking for. So from a family perspective, I mean, does it, are you looking for anything, or is it pictures of kids, families?
It must relate to the experience of Jewish life in South Africa. So it has to have a South African Jewish connection.
So I mean,
And that's in a broad sense.
Kids' birthday parties,
you know, but but I really, we really are, you know, people, yeah, with a narrative, with someone with who really has a story to tell through their images, I think.
Right. And then, I presume.
And that story can be as, you know, small or as big. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be wealthy or famous. It, you know, it can be, it's really about the story and the material.
Right.
And at the same time, it's also a celebration of those who've contributed to our community and have made a big impact. So the two work together, which I think is what gives it, yeah, its meaning.
Gives it some substance.
Yeah.
The people who, have already, put, their collections in, they can keep adding to it. This is not limited to what they've given. It's not a once-off.
I'm not actually, that could be a little tricky, but I think they would, yeah, they can add to it. Definitely with information. I'm not sure if it comes in bits and pieces, but
right.
We do try to finish the process, but obviously things do get added as time goes on. Yes.
Because as you said, somebody goes into the attic and finds something else, a whole box of, of wealth.
Yeah.
And, so when you're talking about,
it's just a matter of time. That's, that's understanding that completing collections. And as you can imagine, there's a huge backlog of material and the interest is very, very big in the project. Yeah.
No, I mean, one, accumulates, especially in the days when it was a proper photograph printed. There's storage is a big problem because you had albums and, drawers full of photographs and copies of these and bar mitzvah wedding and wedding, videos, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this was massive, where today digitally it's a lot easier to actually catalog and a lot easier to manipulate or move around. So, just talking about, you said you would video certain people. I suppose I would imagine that this started with Holocaust survivors. I guess that's prime.
That is, but we do work closely also with the Holocaust and Genocide Foundation, who share that material with us. And we did have a interest in that. I mean, there were Jewish activists that we have material of, actresses, yeah. Medical doctors.
Right, I see. There's so you've got it grouped in those kind of ways as well.
Mm. I guess the easiest way to navigate it is through theme.
Right, and then
which would be
I mean, the homes where the old age homes, Sandringham Gardens,
yes.
Highlands House, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Are those sources of, or have you exhausted that avenue?
Well, they can't really exhaust it, but they were amazing places for us. That's where, our initial oral history interviews started. Well, at least when I started was, at Highlands House with the Anne Horowitz story and her story of immigration. And from there we were able to have a lot of, find a lot of beautiful stories.
Yes, a lot of people have accumulated that information within their own archives. I mean, we've at the Genealogical Society on a monthly basis, people come and relate their experiences of where they've gone back home to Lithuania or wherever they came from, and they've looked at it. They've got pictures of their houses where they used to be or where their house no longer exists, etc. They bring them back to South Africa and put them into their collections. And we've seen, you know, PowerPoints and videos.
I think it's really important to create that space for people to be able to share, retell their stories and their memories. And definitely in the Jewish community, there's a, you know, people wanting to record their stories. There isn't a sense of it being there's unspoken moments, but people really want to come forth and share and speak about their experiences. So I think creating as many spaces for that as possible is really important.
Yes, and the cooperation from the public, I mean, have they been forthcoming? You haven't had to pull this out. This has been stuff which people are proudly presenting.
Yes. Well, I mean, That's part of the project is that, people have come to us and really wanting to have a place to preserve their memories. And it can be really special because afterwards you get it on a flash drive and you can send it overseas to your send the material overseas to your family members. You can keep watching it. I was sitting with someone yesterday who found, recordings from her mother's experiences in Lithuania and we just sat listening to these old tapes. So it's, you know, it can be really shared and it can be,
Yes, because a lot of these people have had these things hidden and I don't know whether young people today are that aware of what they have and the treasure that exists of all this information. I find even the schools are not following through on it.
But it can not be short of forevils, the process, with certain family members not wanting their material online, others also wanting it.
And so you get...
Especially when everything's online, you know, you have to be careful.
They sign it over and of course they give you,
our fair share of, interesting cases of.
You haven't been sued yet.
No.
Okay. So in other words, you can get two stories about the same event
why we have release forms.
Okay. So it's got to be followed through with that. So, all right. I really want to thank you for taking the time. I think we could have talked a lot longer on this, but give us, just to wrap up what we need to do, where to go, once again. And, they can contact me at 011-640-3017 or 18 if they want to ask any more questions. But from your point of view, where do they send it? How do they get hold of you? What's the process? I'm sure you don't want to have a million people phoning you tomorrow morning and queuing at the door with archive material, but
I think you can look at our current website, which is jdap.co.za, and you can contact me on jdap@sajewishmuseum.co.za. And I would just say, like, if you have a box of photographs sitting at home that you know you want to keep for many years to come, but you don't know where to begin, I would just start spending some time with those photographs and old film and collating it in the best order you think is for you. And, spending some time with those documents, writing details down. Yeah, and then by all means, please do give me a call. And I'm at the South African Jewish Museum, and we can discuss how we can put them online.
So also from a point of view of technical point of view, people also need to realize that quality is also critical. And so you've got high resolution as opposed to just taking a photograph of a photograph, which is not
Bearing in mind, if you're wanting to put your personal family collection on public display, then it's, you got to factor in that it might be put in an exhibition or documentary, and we want the best quality.
Yes, I mean, that's absolutely critical. And that's not so easy, and it's not a cheap exercise. I mean, I know from the order's point of view, we went through quite a few hundred photographs. It wasn't a cheap exercise, but we did have them photographed in a high res. And, I mean, it's a worthwhile exercise because photographs themselves get lost and
damaged and water damaged. Yeah.
In fact, we had a flood at the HID center.
Oh my gosh.
And, we lost some photographs, which actually we're struggling to replace. Perhaps if it was in the archive, we could have come to you.
Yeah. Oh no, that's what we're trying to prevent. That's exactly why we're making these copies.
So, Leila Bloch from Cape Town, from the JDAP, the Jewish Digital Archive Project at the Jewish Center and the Jewish Museum. Thank you so much for your time. It's been illuminating. And,
thank you so much.
You were worried about the time, but it went by in a flash. And, thank you once again. And we'll be in touch. And if anybody, as you said, you've given out the details and we've given out our details, and our project today in the life of a Jew in South Africa is going to be circulated within the next couple of weeks. And hopefully we can put that into the mix.
That would be great. Yeah.
And we'd
love to see good luck with that project. We'd love to see it.
And we'll be talking and really kol hakavod to you, yishakach to the whole thing, Kaplan Center, et cetera, et cetera. You're doing a great job.
And thank you so much for the space.
And I believe you've got a date tonight, so.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yeah, enjoy.
I've got to run. Okay.
Okay.
Cheers.
Thanks so much. Good night.